Our subject this morning is God Speaks to Us. And welcome again if this is the first time you are here with us. And we have been studying about experiencing God. Experiencing God is a Bible study that we are having in our church. And we have learned that we have how many realities? Seven realities. The first one is that God is at work at all time. The second reality is that God pursues a personal relationship with you, with me, and with everyone. The third reality that we spoke about last Sunday is at some points in our lives, God is going to invite us to join him. And in order to do that, the fourth reality, like today, is that God will speak. God will speak to us at some point in our lives. And when he speaks, most of the time, he will lead us to a crisis of belief. The fifth reality, is that true? The sixth reality is that we need to adjust. We cannot be the same after we hear the voice of God. And the seventh reality is that we need to obey in order to experience God in our lives. My text this morning is from the book of Hebrews and the first chapter. But before I read this wonderful book, this book of Hebrews in the New Testament, is an astonishing document written while the temple still stood. So I'm going to bring some pictures to you before we read this passage. The temple was there, the beautiful temple in the city of Jerusalem. So I want you to keep that. Now, the book perhaps was written in the year AD 70, before Jerusalem was destroyed. And then we need to bear in mind that there was a system. The old sacrifice system was in place. The temple was there. The priests were there. And then God has instructed his people to about a system of sacrifice as an outward act of inner repentance. So if we did something wrong, if the people did something wrong, they needed to make it right. And that was the system. So the families will bring an animal to the temple based on what Leviticus says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So can you imagine that will be my job? Sacrificing animals. The place will be smelly, he said. Yeah, to be washed. Now, I want you to bear in mind that. But because another repentance, another sacrifice. Another, something wrong, another sacrifice. Once a year, you know, they have the Day of Atonement. And then again and again. Plus, the priests, they were no right. They were sinners. So that was the situation. In the middle of that, we know that God speaks to us. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read just the first two verses. Bear in mind this picture of the old sacrifices. The temple is there. And Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Let us pray before we reflect upon these beautiful words from the New Testament. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful reality that you speak to us, that you want to speak to people. Father, as we spend time around your word, we pray that may your Holy Spirit help us to learn, help us to understand, help us to respond. I pray for all of us, as we spend this half an hour or so, may your Holy Spirit help us to receive what you have prepared for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The book of Hebrews establishes almost more than any other book in the New Testament about the glory of Jesus Christ, the importance of his work here. And there is one, people say, but who is the author? We don't know the author of this book. But it has been suggested that it was Paul. You know why? Because the way Jewish ceremony are described, as you read in details, they are clearly described to for Gentiles. And Paul was a missionary to the Gentiles, people who were not Jews. They were not familiar with the temple and the sacrifices. Now, on the other hand, the author have to explain the Jews that the ceremonies were over. And he has this fine line, and then he has to be very able to do it. So people said, it's Paul. But today, our subject is God speaks to us. But how does God speak? How does God speak? Well, it begins with something that God has done. Our text says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, and at many times and in various ways. Let me tell you something. You know, somebody says that every religion is an attempt to please God, is an attempt to seek God, is an attempt to be okay with God. I don't know if you are familiar with the Hajj pilgrimage. It's the annual Islamic pilgrimage to Mecca, Saudi Arabia. Millions of people go there, and hundreds die because they get squashed. You know, the millions of people must perform a litany of rituals in 5 days, including the symbolic stoning of the devil. So they go and try to stone the devil, and 2 miles away from the Mecca holy site. Christianity, on the other hand, is God bursting into our world, coming to us, and he came to show us who he is. That's the difference. In the Bible we read, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets many times and in various ways. Moses was a prophet. Last Sunday we talked about Samuel. He was a prophet. We have other prophets that God has spoken. Yes, in the past, he did it in diverse manners. Sometimes by visions of the night, by visions of day, sometimes by, you know, voices, angels. God has spoken, says the book of Hebrews. But in this last day, he has spoken to us by his Son. Many people say that when we read this passage and we say Son, the Son of God, that means that he is lesser than God, that he is junior to God, which is wrong. Because he's no junior. What does it mean, you know? Let me tell you something. If you come from your parents, all of us, have you come from mom and dad? Yes? I don't know. Or have you come? I hope that we are here. We don't have anyone from Mars or Mercury as they are planning to go there. Now, if you come from parents, means that, first of all, you are human. Okay? Now, the second thing is, if you were born here in Wales, you are Welsh. If you were born in England, you are English. If you are born in Scotland, you are Scottish, and I was born in Latin America, I am Ecuadorian. Now, what does it mean? I hope that if you were born here in Wales, you speak Welsh, a language that I'm having trouble at the moment. Okay, if you were born English, you speak English. And like me, I was in Latin America, I speak Spanish, the language of heaven. Well, we don't know better. Now, what it means is that you are very equal to your father and mother. You resemble them. It's an identical nature. If God is eternal, his Son is eternal. If God is holy, his Son is holy. If God is omnipotent, his Son is omnipotent. Look, the second part of verse 2 says, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. What a wonderful statement of Jesus Christ. He's in charge of creation. He created us, and he comes to redeem us. That is what the text is saying. But I'm going to elaborate a little bit more later on. But I want you to hold on to those statements. Now, the question is, how does God speak today? Well, It's very simple. Today we were talking, first of all, God speaks through history. You see, one professor of history, he made a research. His name is Thomas Arnold. And he was thinking about the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Persians, all those. And he said, down they come, one after another, and all for the lack of righteousness. So we have empires here, and then we read history. You cannot change history. We know that they are not there. The beautiful, every time I read about Babylon, I try to picture how wonderful it was. You go now there, what happened? It's only desert. So God speaks to us through history. Just to be a little bit nearer, you know, I grew up in Ecuador, and then when I was 5, 6, many people wanted to immigrate to America or to Venezuela. Venezuela was even better than going to America. But we have this gentleman, Hugo Chavez. He looks invincible. He was the president for many years. Now we have hundreds of thousands of refugees from Venezuela coming into Ecuador and going to everywhere. And this gentleman, he said, I hate Israel. I hate many things. I will not go. And then he got cancer and he died last night, just like that. What the point I'm trying to make is that God speaks through history. So we open the history's books and we can learn that, like the book of Galatians says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. God cannot be mocked. A person, a woman, a man, we're going to be in trouble. So when we open the book of history, God is speaking. And I was amazed when he, you know, to see he looks so powerful, and now his nation is so poor, and yet it's a rich nation. God speaks through nature. That's our subject this morning as we read Psalm. Remember, I omit the first verses. We're going to read together just to give us a picture of how God, only by standing and look through the window here in this part of the world, when we have special days, because most of the time rains. Yesterday was beautiful. Shall we read together this wonderful song that tells us about how God speaks? Let's read together. The heavens. They don't need to say anything. You just look. That's it. God can speak to us through nature. But not only through nature. God can speak through our conscience. That inner voice that tells us what is right, what is wrong, and sometimes we ignore. God speaks to us through our conscience. The Bible speaks of a seer conscience in 1 Timothy. There are times when there are people who don't want to hear anything about it. This is my life. You don't have the right to tell me what to do. Their conscience are seer. They don't want to hear even the inner voice. And the Apostle Paul, when he sent a letter to the church in Rome, he says that even when people don't have a clue who God is, their conscience can tell them about who he is. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says, indeed, when Gentiles, which is people who are not Jews, who do not have the law, they didn't have all the requirements that we saw in the beginning, those pictures, they did not have a clue about anything, even though they do not have the law, they show that the requirements of the law are written on their heart because of what? Their conscience. God can speak to us through our conscience. If the voice of conscience is ignored, our Christians will be unable to tell the difference between right and wrong. You know, let each one of us hear that voice, that inner voice that says, you know what, that is wrong. Oh, but I was born like that. Hear your conscience. Hear your conscience. God speak through people. And this is the most powerful voice that people can hear. Have you heard when people said, I am a Christian because I saw Christ in you? That's a wonderful statement, isn't it? When we have people that they are role models. The fruit, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves life. Sometimes, you know, our testimonies are more powerful than the best teaching that we can give. So God is going to speak through you. Be careful. I always say to the people, you know, when I have been to churches, why sometimes young people don't come to churches? You know, sometimes I realize that it was just when people were having even meals with their parents and they were talking about badly, about church, about faith. You know, they said, I don't want to go. How much important is your faith? People, the Apostle Paul says, you yourselves are our letter, written on our heart, known and read by everyone. Everyone is watching us. How we deal with our spouse, our husband, our wife, our partners, our children, grandchildren, our neighbors, they are watching us. God is going to speak through people. God can speak through the Bible. You want to hear the voice of God? You want an experience with God? Read your Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed. It's so sad that nowadays, in many churches, in many places of this country, in other countries, they say, you know what? Don't preach about those verses because people are going to be upset. Don't touch it. Your church will be empty. That's wrong. Shall we read together this verse? This is what the Bible says. Let's read it together. All scripture. Don't take me those verses. Don't go around those verses. Don't try to interpret those verses. Please don't do it. Because God will not speak. It will be somebody speaking. It will be a new theologian giving a new theology. Me, I want to hear the voice of God. God speaks through prayer. In my phone, the first telephone number is my wife and my three children. It is wonderful when I phone and I hear their voices. I am comforted, I am encouraged when I hear their sweet voices. And my parents as well, every week, today I will be phoning them. You know, that's prayer. That we can talk to our wonderful Father. You know what? Okay, I can receive comfort and I feel good talking to my wife, to my children, to my friends. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call to me, you know, dial the number. Hello, God, how are you doing? That's what we do, isn't it? You bow your knees and then you talk and say, and I will answer and tell you great and unsearchable things you don't know. How am I going to be doing this? God will help you. God speaks when you are praying. And you are in trouble. Somebody today, Billy was sharing about that. Well, ask and it shall be given, and seek and you will find. God speaks when you pray. I don't know how he will do it. But my subject before this morning, I just want to come back to our text. So we have, yes, God speaks through. Do you remember God speaks through history? the Bible, yeah, and people, yes. But now, this is the most important. God speaks through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's come back to the text, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And then we are going to now try to grasp what the Bible is telling us about Jesus. It says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Can you imagine? He radiates his own glory. You remember the parents and the children? You know, okay. You see me, you can see some Ecuadorian guys. You okay? Because that, I cannot help it. I have the Latin swing, okay? I cannot help it. And you, if you are English, you have your stuff, and you are Irish, if you are Welsh. You see, Jesus, he is like his Father. The same glory of the Father, he reveals the divine glory. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The word translated here, image or representation, is the word character, carries the idea that Jesus is the exact representation of the very substance of God. We know God because we have seen Jesus. The difference between the Father and the Son is that the Son reveals the glory. That's the difference. He comes and reveals to me. Now we can say, that's God. Now, look, this statement. Sustaining all things by what? By his powerful word. You see the importance of the word of God. Jesus was in creation and said, let it be light. And what it was? Light. The plants. Water. Animals, his word. This is Jesus. Jesus, what a statement. He says that he just says a word and he sustains everything. We can call upon him. We face challenge. Are you feeling challenges in your workplace, with your family? Hey, he has spoken. He has words of hope for you. He has words of comfort for you. He has words of life for you. He says he sustains everything. I heard yesterday that they are preparing a new program to go to Mercury. Let me tell you something. Jesus is sustaining Mercury and Mars and this planet. And he says, verse 4, so he became as much superior to the angels. Look at this. As the name he has inherited is superior to the earth. Now, the writer has... He's comparing. He's superior to the prophets. Why? Because the prophets were servants. He is Lord, as we said. The prophets are servants. He is the heir. The prophets pass. He is eternal. The prophets have to read and study like the Apostle Paul, like Moses, like, you know, Samuel. He is the teacher. Now he said with the angels, he said, the angels are created, he is the creator. The angels have to obey, he is the one who gives orders. The angels have to receive powers, he is the source of power. This is Jesus. I want you to picture that Jesus is that. What foolish we are that sometimes we are struggling with something and then you look for answer in spiritism. Jesus sustained the universe. You are struggling and you look for answers in alcohol. You are struggling and you are looking for answers in drugs. You are struggling and you look for answers in sex. You are struggling and you look for answers in anything. Jesus sustained the universe. Now, as I conclude today, let's go back to the text. It's in the past. God spoke to the prophets, but in this last day, he has spoken to us by his Son. Remember the pictures? The temple was there. When they did something wrong, they need to bring the animal. They need to be sacrificed. They need to shed the blood and offer that for forgiveness. But that was not perfect. That was not perfect. Because they have to come again and again. And one Bible commentator says, what man needed was a perfect priest and a perfect sacrifice to open the way once for all, a sacrifice that was not just a picture and did not deal just with one thing at one time, over and over again. I sinned this week, I have to go back to the priest. And I sinned this, I have to go back. No, but one that took it all away once and for all, that, says the writer of Hebrews, is exactly what Jesus did. Oh, but this is the Bible saying that we need to follow the Sabbath, we need to have the temple. My friends, the temple is not there. It's only walls. And when we read the book of Hebrews, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read a couple of verses from Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to read from verse 10. And this wonderful picture of what Jesus did for us. And he says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. He can. He can. And in verse 11 said, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away the sin. But verse 12 says, but when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. That is what Jesus did for you and for me. So I don't have to go to a priest to confess my sins. I don't have to bring an animal to be sacrificed. I have to go to him. God's anointed priest. Jesus Christ is the climax of the revelation. God spoke to prophets. He used them as an instrument. But now, every religion is but man's attempt to discover God, but Christianity is God bursting into man's world and showing, telling man what he is like. That's it. That's it. So Sunday school, God speaks through his son's character. So Sunday school and the youth world we have here, we try to understand who Jesus is, his character. We study about, you know, the sacrifice. God speaks through his son's sacrifice. We learn about him, about his love. And we try to resemble. Have you noticed that if you move to a place, you start talking like people in that place? I don't know. Well, I don't know. It's horrible to me. I'm still learning English, okay? But in 2016, I went to preach to San Antonio. I love that city here in Texas. And I didn't know. I went because I was living there before. So when I was there, I was in the, you know, having breakfast because they invite me for some breakfast. And then some people look around, say, are you coming from England? Oh, well, yes, I live in London. You know? But you see, they notice my accent. I said, well, I don't notice that. You see my point? When you get closer to Jesus, you will be more and more a him. As I conclude today, God speaks to us. It's challenging sometimes. The creator of the universe wants to hold you in your hand. Are you struggling in your marriage? Come to Jesus. Are you struggling in your personal life? Come to Jesus. Are you, your finances are in trouble, your personal, come to Jesus. Hear his voice. I conclude with these words of my Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. They will listen to my voice. Are you going to listen? Are you going to surrender? Are you going to accept his wonderful gift of salvation? Let us pray. Father, thank you for the climax of your revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your divine love. Thank you for your divine presence, which is in Jesus. I pray for that person this morning that has been struggling for a long time that he or she will come to you and accept you as the one and only sacrifice that make him or her right with you. Father, help us to respond. Help us to hear you, to your sweet voice. Oh, Lord Shepherd. Oh, good Shepherd, our Lord. Help us to hear your voice. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.